It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new law in Wisconsin will require high school students to take a course that includes lessons on money management, on investing, credit, debt. We examine the mandate and hear your thoughts on it. Call in with a question, add comments. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Janelle Espinal is Director of Educational Outreach for the nonprofit Next Gen Personal Finance. Janelle, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm excited that this time around we're talking about successful legislation.
Yes. How will learning about financial literacy in a high school classroom help these young people manage their money decades later in life?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the things that I would point to the research on, because so many people wonder, you know, well, what impact can it really have? And the research actually shows that when you provide financial literacy education just in time, which is shown to be the upper grade levels of high school in particular, so junior and senior year, that this is when students are making really important choices like comparing car insurance rates and, you know, deciding whether they want to get a credit card, if they want to be an authorized user on their parents' or uncle's or aunt's credit cards, and how to start using that to establish credit. They're deciding whether they want to go on to college, and if so, how they're going to pay for college, which means potentially student loans. They're deciding so many important financial choices about their lives, whether they want to set up direct deposit, if they're getting a paycheck from work, or if they rather just cash paper checks the old school way or use a payroll card, which can be costly. And so this class is coming at this opportune moment in time when teenagers are making important financial choices every day. And so they'll be able to apply these lessons almost immediately to their real financial lives.
It seems like teachers then could really attach to this, because you could use more relatable examples for teens, you know, instead of something that might be really far off, like a mortgage. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, choosing a credit card or financing a first car or how to pay for college, I mean, these are much more urgent and sooner in their trajectory.
Absolutely. And that's the reality of life being a teenager in America. Like, a lot of people will say, oh, this is so important for their future, for their financial future, but it's actually very important for their financial present. Students are oftentimes, they have bank accounts. They're often already banking, right? Or they have a checking account or savings account at a credit union. And so it's very important for students to be able to understand how to compare and contrast different types of bank accounts and how to look for competitive interest rates when they're saving. Maybe they're saving for graduation. Maybe they're saving for their first car. Maybe they're saving for prom tickets. We don't know what their goals are, but we know that teenagers use money daily, if not weekly and monthly, to purchase food, to go shopping, to, you know, get entertainment, games, to save for their goals. And so for us to pretend that this class is only preparing them for a financial future 10, 20 years down the line, you know, it's really doing them a disservice by not acknowledging all of the financial choices that they make on a day-to-day basis.
Janelle, your organization, Next Gen Personal Finance, has some numbers for us. Nearly 24% of students nationally attend a school where one semester of personal finance is required. Here in Wisconsin, nearly 35% of high school students have a financial literacy requirement. What do successful financial literacy programs have in common?
Yeah, so actually the stats are looking a little better. The figure 24 is 24 states now, which Wisconsin officially became the 24th state to have a full semester graduation requirement for personal financial literacy. So what that means is, like, before, the state of Wisconsin already had really, really strong financial literacy standards in place. It was actually a leader on this issue with very, very strong standards, teacher training through Edgewood College for a number of years, leadership from the governor, who has had a financial literacy council in place, as well as from Dave Mansell, you know, which he's been a very vocal advocate and leader over at the Department of Financial Institutions Office of Financial Literacy. So Wisconsin has had so much in place already. And in particular, those state standards are really incredibly strong. However, what it meant was that it was sort of like a suggestion that schools should be teaching this, versus now this legislation says, hey, you got to be teaching this, and it's got to happen for at least a semester being half of a year long course. So this is really what the shift is, becoming the 24th state, meaning that now when you look at the percentage of students across the country and add up all of those students in those 24 states, we're looking at some of the most populous states. We're looking at really big states now that have this requirement, right? Including states like Michigan, who is a more recent addition. Wisconsin is added to the list, but this is something that is now reaching half of the students in the country. And so that's, I think, the really important thing to know is that even though we're at 24 states, the percentage of students getting access to this class in the country is really, really high, because we've got states like, you know, really, really large states that have been doing this for a really long time, large states that have added this in the past year or two, like Michigan, Georgia, Florida, Ohio, some really big states. And so that's really the goal here, is to be able to say, let's look across the country and see how many teenagers, how many current high school students are getting access, and let's bridge that gap. So in Wisconsin, there were about 35%, 36% of students that were already guaranteed to get this class before. And now we're bridging that gap, and we're saying we're going from 35% to 100% of students in the state.
We're talking about the new state law requiring high school students to take a financial literacy class before graduation. And we have financial educator Janelle Espinal. You can join in. Questions and comments are welcome at 800-642-1234. Financial advice, it often involves better ways to save and invest. How should teachers consider talking about financial literacy when our state authorities estimate 40% of households in Wisconsin struggle to afford basic household necessities?
Yeah, I absolutely love this question. I mean, I grew up in a very low-income family, and I think that this course would have been an incredibly aspirational course for a student like me, because, you know, when you think about the fact that the financial choices that you make in a home that has access to a very low income are going to be so critical, because you're dealing with limited resources. And so it's really important at that level to be very aware and educated on how to keep banking fees low, and how to manage credit responsibly, and how to, you know exactly what the predatory practices in the financial space that are around you are, what do those look like, and how to avoid those. And I think it's still important to talk about investing, right? And so I think a class like this can really have an impact on the rest of their lives ahead of them, but also it's something they can take back home to their families, and it creates this ripple effect where they go home and say, "Mom, Dad, did you know that if you carry a really high balance on your credit card, that's one of the reasons why your credit score will be dropping really low? But the moment that you pay off a chunk of that, or if you carry a lower amount of credit card debt, your credit score will get a boost." Oftentimes, parents don't know this. The families themselves have never been taught this. That's why a law like this one is so important, because for the first time ever, we're saying every single student is going to get this when they graduate high school. Because of Assembly and Senate Bill 109, we're not going to have another generation repeating the same cycle saying, "Well, I don't know this because I didn't get a class about it. I wish I had." Mm. Now everyone's going to say, "Well, this is the class that we're so glad we got."
But I wonder, Janelle, you know, money is so personal. And I'm wondering if should financial literacy, a class like this, involve a bit of back and forth with teens instead of like, "Here's how you do this. Here's what you need to know." Should teachers get a sense of the teens' financial goals or what they've experienced in their lives with money?
100%. And I think that your point is larger than just a back and forth. What I think it is the way that the course needs to be taught. We need, as educators and teachers, we all need to avoid teaching classes as if we are evangelizing or even as if we're dissuading students from certain choices. Because our goal as an educator is not to move students to agree or disagree with any one particular thing. Instead, what we're here to do is empower them and give them the time and the space to explore different topics. We're not here to push credit cards on them. We're also not telling them to avoid credit. Instead, we're here to examine credit. What is the credit system in the United States look like? How can you participate if you choose to? What would happen if you choose not to? What's a good credit score? What's a not so great credit score? How do you attain a good score? How do you not, you know, get a good score? What are the things that would help you, you know, to boost your score? again, this is a very exploratory. And so students are walking away with a lot of knowledge, with a lot of content that they can then choose to apply. But I think that as educators, we need to stay away from saying, this is what you need to do or what you should do. And instead, we need to ask students open-ended questions and provide them with activities that are hands-on where they have to do the research and they have to go and see, hey, how does this apply to me and my family situation? Because that's going to look very different student by student and household by household.
Stepping back here for a moment, this new mandate here in Wisconsin will start with the 2028 graduating class. Why does the on-ramp, the implementation, require several years?
Yeah, well, I'll note the graduating class of 2028 is actually next year's incoming freshmen. So it's really important to note that's actually coming right around the corner, right? It's the students that are coming into high school next year who will graduate in 2028. So we're getting these students in high school next year. By the time they graduate, they have to take the class. But I will tell you that gives us a few years, which I think is very important to have that timeline because schools have to adjust, right? Some schools have already been doing this in the state of Wisconsin, but the schools that have not yet done this before, they need to learn from some of the schools that have done this well. And that means cross district conversations to say, hey, how did you adjust your master schedule? How did you make sure the teachers felt qualified and competent and that they were trained well to teach this course with confidence? And it starts often by training one teacher and then offering one section and then growing it from there. But that, you know, that takes time.
Janelle, thank you for joining us.
Of course. I'm so excited to talk about this, if you can't tell.
I can tell. Janelle Espinal, Director of Educational Outreach for the nonprofit Next Gen Personal Finance and a financial educator on YouTube at MissBeHelpful.com. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.